Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 15th, episode 636. Yes, I said April 15th. Boo. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable host, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, that's right. It's tax day. Good morning, everybody. For those of you still working on your taxes and listening into the show, good luck with that. For those of you in the South that survived last night, welcome back to the show. We hope that you're here and your horses and all your barns and houses are in one piece. There were some wicked storms, Jamie, across the South and in Florida last night. We had tornado warnings all night, and we missed most of it. It went north and south of us, but I bet your mom got some.
Oh, you know what? Chad is in Panama City for his training thing.
Oh, they got nailed all day. They got clobbered.
And my mom, I talked to both of them yesterday, and my mom's sitting there without power running candles. And I'm like, are you doing your taxes by candlelight, Mom? She's like, I had to stop for a minute. So she's in there doing her taxes by candlelight. Chad, he said that they got more rain in 1 hour than we'll get in Phoenix in an entire year.
There were some wicked storms south of us too. Orlando got hit pretty hard, the parks got hit, and then all the way over in the coast, but we were just right in the middle of it, and we got a little bit of rain, but that was about it. Ocala survived that one. And there was a big horse show over at the Florida Horse Park. There was an event this weekend, and I bet you they were all very happy on stadium day that we were not getting these storms, because they would have had a tough time getting through that. It was raining 3 inches an hour. That's pretty hard.
Well, so. There was weather everywhere for eventers. This past weekend, I had a bunch of friends that were up in New Mexico doing a horse trial. It's actually at St. John's, which is kind of Arizona-New Mexico border, I guess. And they were doing show jumping in 40-mile-an-hour wind. I mean,
the jumps
you
were
think
blowing
about
over underneath
the
them.
Jumps just... I wonder if they just fall over. Do you get penalized for that?
I was wondering about that. I've seen that happen at shows. Jennifer, what happens? Do you know?
What's that?
When the jump falls over with the heavy wind, and I mean...
They blow the little whistle and stop the timer, and the little guys run out and put the jump back up.
Oh, and you do it again or whatever?
Yeah, and you start from the point where you stopped. Had that. Been there. Done that. Yeah.
Yeah. All my friends who were there just posted on Facebook, like, congratulations for surviving. I guess it was pretty crazy.
Colorado is supposed to get snow again today. It's tax day. It's April 15th. They're getting snow again. It's ridiculous.
That just means you can ski longer.
Yeah. Global warming. Hey, Jennifer, we got a busy show, so we better get to it.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday, the 15th of April is tax day, and that sucks edition. We endeavor to drown out the sound of teeth gnashing found throughout the United States today with a visit from Christy Nunink, a West Coast-based eventer who is chock full of high hopes for her upcoming run at the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, which begins in just 10 days. And turning up the volume to a toe-tapping level, cowgirl musician Adrienne slides into the show for a chat And we wind up for the workday with Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation.
Thank you, Jennifer. Busy one today.
It's Monday.
Did it again. That was my fault this time. Wrong button. My daily whinny goes out to a couple of people, actually. We had a lot of people the end of last week and over the weekend write to us. I'm just going to mention a few of them and post on our Facebook page both. Susan, thank you so much for your email. Apparently, Jamie, Susan listens to us while she's running, and she does power walks. And on Friday evening, she does a six-mile walk and listens to her favorite podcast, including Freestyle Friday, of course. We had more people say over the weekend that they listen to Really Bad Ads, but listen to what Susan said. When Really Bad Ad comes on, I laugh so hard it interrupts my breathing, so I have to switch off, hit them till I finish my walk and enjoy it when I get home. So,
geez,
that's nice.
That's awesome.
We must have been funny on Friday. And then Gemma said that she had her wisdom teeth out on Friday. Sorry to hear that, Gemma. I hope you can talk by now.
Oof.
And said she had to watch so much TV, she got sick of it, so she listened to several of our shows. So funny. Thanks for cheering me up. You guys are awesome. Well, thank you for that, Gemma. And Robert posted, remember Robert won some Dr. Rose's remedies?
Yes.
On the Wheel of Trivia. Well, he got it in, and apparently he has a horse that's extremely prone to getting hurt. So he posted a picture of his horse and him holding his Dr. Rose's remedies, and apparently, following the thread down the line there, a couple of people actually went out and bought it, thanks to Robert. So thank you, Robert, for helping to promote our sponsors. We really appreciate that. And we love pictures. If you win something, please take a picture of you, your horse, or whatever it is you won. We would love to see it. So thank you to everybody who wrote to us over the weekend. Apparently, Really Bad Ads must be getting better and better all the time, Jamie.
Now, hang in there, Gemma. Well, you know what? Gemma was laughing because she's hyped up on pain medication. So that's why she thinks we're funny. Okay, I have two. I'm going to quickly go through this first one because I'm just absolutely amazed by the kindness and generosity of horse people. There's a horse down at the Sheriff's Department, the MASH unit, and you guys know I run the MASH unit Facebook page. It's facebook.com/adopthorses. And there's a stallion down there. He's about 15-year-old Pasofino stallion who apparently is very rideable, has been ridden in parades, but was confiscated when he was starved. But he's a stallion, and I've spoken with them. The Sheriff's Department cannot pay for castration. There's some rule where they can't castrate the horses. I don't know what it is, but I got an offer from a veterinarian to geld him for $100, which is a third of the price of castrations out here. So quite the deal. So I just posted on Facebook, you know, let's see if we can get Diego a home and we can get him castrated. You know, does anybody want to make a pledge, $5-$10? Well, within the afternoon, I had the $100 for his gelding from just people donating. I'd like to send a shout out to Janelle Cameron, to Brenda Nellums, and let's see, Janelle, Brenda, and Corrine Crowley also pledged some money. So you guys are awesome.
Yay.
We have all of the money to get him castrated. As we like to say, brain surgery on the horse. And he hopefully, they're just easier to adopt out when they're not stallions. You know, I'm sure that's why nobody's taken him yet. So he's very sweet. He's going to be gelded as soon as we get all the funds together. Now, here's where we still need a little bit of help. They really need fly masks. And I will give you, if you post on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, you can mail a fly mask in or send in $5-$10 to go buy a fly mask. None of these horses have fly masks and they're in the desert. And it's just awful. I feel so sorry for these poor things. And I've got two or three that I'm going to take over there, but they need like 25. So just to let you guys know, if you want to donate a fly mask or some money to go buy a fly mask, I'll put that information up on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page after the show.
All right. Sounds good. Good cause.
Yes.
Good cause. All right. You have another one, right?
Yes, I do. Well, she did it again. She did it again. Black Caviar won her 25th consecutive race, this time by 3 lengths, and the most difficult field she has ever faced. The closest horse to Black Caviar was a horse that was like 20-1. So nobody expects any other horse to beat her. But all these other trainers were like, this is the hardest field she's ever faced. She's not going to win this one. And Peter Moody's like, I think the record's been set straight, yo. She's the best. He didn't say it like that, though. So we've got the race. Let's hear how it went.
Stand by, they're off and racing. And Bell Sprinter came out last of all. Black Caviar began well. Rain Affair was the best into stride. How Much Do You Love Me going up on the outside. Nolan's bringing Black Caviar along the inside to settle down in third spot, followed by Decision Time. Haylis was out a little bit wider. Atomic Force just up in front of it, followed by Tidal and Sea Siren. Bell Sprinter saving ground. Now he's railing up onto the back of Black Caviar, followed further back by Epaulette. And on the lookout last of all, Nolan trying to get away from the inside to avoid being boxed up here. And the lead to Rain Affair, led from Haylist on the outside, Black Caviar in the centre, and How Much Do You Love Me on the inside of them, followed by Bell Sprinter. He's worked up to midfield, followed by Decision Time, and then Tidal Atomic Force, followed by Seesaw and Epaulette, and further back on the lookout, Rain Affair kicked away at the top of the straight. Nolan asking the mare to come after him now, and in a heartbeat she raced up and hit the lead. She's giving Sydney some of the black magic, and look at her go, Black Caviar. She raced away. She's going to set a new Group 1 record in Australia. She's truly in a league of her own. Black Caviar racing away from Epaulette. Black Caviar doesn't let us down. Beat Epaulette. Third home Bell Sprinter. And then Rain Affair, Seesaw and Decision Time, followed further back by How Much Do You Love Me. And then Tidal Atomic Force, Haylist, and La.
Oh, are you kidding me? I mean, she's just so dominant. And what irritates me is that every single announcer that calls a race seems surprised. She continues to be dominant. No kidding. Really? Now, this is what happens. You know, it's like tabloids with her at this point. It's like people are writing stuff just to see if they can get somebody excited. And there was an article Glenn found, and the title of it is End Nears for Black Caviar.
This was in like the Sydney, Big Sydney paper. You know, whatever one is the Big Sydney paper. That's what this was in.
The Sydney Sun-Times, who knows? Yeah. The End Nears for Black Caviar. Okay, that's the title of the article. And you look at the article.
I thought she was dying.
I know. That is so, it's so negative. And you look at it. Okay, check this out. This is the first line. All good things have to come to an end. And for Black Caviar, the end could only be a couple of races away. Although another year is possible. How is that the end nears? What are you talking about? It's ridiculous. So they don't know what they're going to do. She's going to keep running and keep that record going. Hopefully we'll see her, you know, throughout the entire year, and then they'll give her a happy retirement. But, I mean, she's just so dominant. It's just amazing.
Well, they were talking about bringing her to the Royal Ascot again this year. Remember, she went last year, and she did have quite a run at the Royal Ascot. I mean, there was some competition in that race, you know, not that it mattered.
Her jockey was awful in that race, and she won it, but she still won it by, like, a head, I think.
And, you know, they have talked about breeding her to a certain horse over there in England, too, but that's still only a rumor.
Has to go to him. I mean, it's not even funny. Anyway, so there you go. That is my other Daily Winnie. She's the best.
Yeah, definitely. But it's funny how they love it over in Australia. You know, our mood is, yay, Black Caviar. Over in Australia, she's had more negative press. People love to hate her. And it's like, I mean, they love her, but yet there's all these critics out there. Well, she didn't run any races against any horses. And, you know, they've just given it to her. And, you know, just to make her, you know, trying to create a legend. Well, I think she's doing that on her own right now.
Do you ever watch SportsCenter? Not that you're a sporty kind of guy, but every sports guy. Every sports guy talks like that. It's the end of an era. It's this. Oh, they're awful. And then, of course, they go on and dominate. It doesn't matter what sport it is. Men like to be negative. Us girls are the ones who are like, she's so great. We love her. See? The difference in males and females.
before we get to our first guest, I just do have to congratulate you. Something about your baseball team winning a few games.
Oh, talk about dominant. Talk about, I mean, you know, the record for most wins is 20, and that was, of course, seeing the movie with Brad Pitt. That was the A's. The Braves are going to smash that record. They are 10 in a row right now. The Atlanta Braves are on fire. They cannot be beat. The Upton brothers in the outfield. This is not a baseball show, Glenn. Don't get me started. I'm too excited about that.
I just thought, it was a great weekend. I figured you would be.
Love it.
Why don't we take our first guest?
Oh, okay, she's here. Well, we've got Christy on the line. She's from Next Star Farm Eventing, and she is also a Fleeceworks rider. And Christy, her mare is one of my favorite mares out here in West Coast Eventing. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Okay, let's be honest. It's 6:15 in the morning. I cannot believe you're awake right now, and you sound perky.
Well, we were just at Twin Rivers for the weekend, so I'm not that perky.
Oh, how'd it go?
It went really well. I rode R-Star in the combined test right before we shoot for Rolex this week, and she won it, and I had a really nice young horse I rode in the One-Star.
See how she just says, oh, she won it. So Christy was actually at Galway Downs when I was there this past Galway I'm like 15 months pregnant, Christy, so I was just there to watch all my friends, because I'm also a West Coast eventer. But it was great to see you come in third place at Galway and the 3-star. Congrats on that. That was pretty big.
Thanks. Yeah, she was a really good girl.
And do you ever kick yourself you know, you come across the finish line, I think you had like 8 time penalties or something, and you were sitting in first place and it bumped you to third. As does that affect you? Because I know it bothers me, but you're kind of like a big deal, so.
Well, does it affect me that I had 8 time faults? I mean,
or that you moved in the placing, both.
No, I guess ultimately my goal at Galway was actually just to, because it was her last run before Rolex, was just to really jump the fences super well. You know, I didn't really care about what place she came in. I wanted to go fairly fast, but jump everything really well so that she had just a really good taste in her mouth before she went to do Rolex, where the fences are quite a bit bigger and more technical. And I felt like I really got that done.
Well, that's good. See, that's why I asked, because me, I'd be like, oh, my gosh, time penalties, a kid. But you're like, you take each one, and you give each one a goal, and that's why you're at the top of your game right now. So tell us about R-Star. She's an absolutely stunning gray mare.
She actually is an amazing human being. She's just got the most wonderful temperament. She's, you know, super on the ground. She's quiet, she's affectionate, like a small child can lead her around at a horse show and graze her. She has beautiful manners. And in dressage, she's very rideable. She's a beautiful mover. She's really a good show jumper. You know, she's very careful. And then she's just a monster cross country. She's, you know, you wouldn't even think she was the same horse. She rears up in the start box. She gets offside. She's very, very hard for me to hold cross country, and that is why having time faults and making her jump things well right before is super important, because then I can hopefully go faster at Rolex because I've made her wait a little bit. But she's just fearless. Nothing scares her. You know, she does give you everything she has on cross country.
I'm looking at some pictures, Jamie, of her jumping cross country. She does not like to get close to those jumps, does she?
No, she's really scopey, very careful. She will get close if she needs to, but she likes to jump big.
Everyone I'm seeing, she's clearing them by a foot, and these are tall to begin with.
Yeah. She jumped around Burley last fall, which is, I think, the biggest 4-star in the world. And literally one of the biggest fences on the course, she probably cleared by a foot and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, she is really talented.
So how long have you had her and been riding her?
I have had her since we got her as a long 4-year-old. and she was barely broke. My assistant really got her broke because she was quite exuberant about things. And I started riding her in 2006, about February.
Now, did you know that she had this kind of talent immediately, or did it develop?
You know, I knew when we got her, I knew she was talented. She was a very good jumper and a very good mover. No, I had no idea that she could go and do this. Usually when we get a young horse, I just look at it. If it can't do what I want it to do, can I resell it and not lose money? And I felt positive about that with her because she could be a straight dressage horse or a straight show jumper. But I had no idea that she would be such an amazing cross-country horse.
Now, you guys have been all over the place. You mentioned Burley. Tell us the differences kind of between competing in the United States and over in Europe.
Well, there's even a lot of differences between competing in California and the East
yeah.
Coast. So going to Burley is even more amazing. It really is like a different language over there. It's actually hard. It was hard for me to even understand some people. You know, they speak very rapidly, but the biggest thing I think in competing in England is how much they love horses. I went over there just a week early, and you have to hack down the roads to go do a gallop, and everybody in the country slows down and waves from you. You know, the lady down the road is like, oh, who are you? Where are you from? You're not from, I mean, they know their horses. They know that you're actually not from around there. And then going to the event was really amazing because, again, everybody loves horses, and there's just so many people there watching. You know, it's like a sea of people when you're galloping cross country. So that was amazing. And the footing, I just happened to hit Burley on a perfect weekend where the footing was literally like being on a trampoline. It was just wet enough to be perfect. It wasn't deep, and so you could just bounce off of it.
Wow. Now, I had an old coach of mine tell me that when he went to Burley, he said that, they're getting his horse off the airplane, and the attendants that work at the airport are like, "You're going to Burley, man. Congratulations. Sorry, what's your name?" Is it really like that?
It is really like that, yes. It's just amazing. I mean, everybody knows horses over there. They all love them. And it's really fun because my coach is Bruce Davidson. And
Never heard of him.
I was in the lorry driver that picked me up from the airport was like, "Oh, you're going to Burley? That's so great, boy. You know, the last American that rode there really, really well was Bruce Davidson." So they all really know the sport and their horses and stuff.
So what is it like riding with Bruce Davidson?
It's really different than I thought it would be. It's wonderful. he actually was, I just really clicked with him. And it was like I felt like I had known him all my life. He's really funny, and he loves to tell blonde jokes. And he's just really easy to be around. He's so wise. Like, it's just amazing being around him and, teaching and riding, but then every so often he'll just sit down and start talking about what he did with one of his many world-class horses. And, it's actually just wonderful being around him all the time and listening to those stories.
Just to hear him, in passing, mention a horse like Eagle Line, you must just be like, "Oh, my God, he just touched Eagle Line."
Yeah. And I always, for some reason, was always mesmerized by Mike Tango, the horse he won his second World Games with. And, and just listening to him talk about that horse. And he's just so amazing because he loved all of his horses so much, And so he always has great stories about all of them.
Wow. Yeah. You're based in California. He's on the East Coast. Does he come to you or do you go to him?
Mostly I go to him, but he did come out last summer and watch and help me and watch me at Rebecca Farms, which was super fun. And then, most this year I wasn't able to go back early and train. I just had a bunch of obligations here that I had to be around. And so I just call him, you know, before the shows and talk to him. And he was the one that really encouraged me at Galway. He's like, go as fast as you can, but first of all, jump all the fences really well. Don't worry about what place you come in here. You know, the big picture is Rolex. So he's just been super great that way. He's just always available by his phone. And if I have questions, I call him and ask him.
So you're heading to Rolex, and you've got Bruce Davison in your back pocket. Not a bad thing, because apparently at Rebecca Farms you mentioned you won that one, so it must have been pretty good to have him there. So are you one of the riders who drives or flies?
Sadly, I shouldn't say sadly. We drive. It just doesn't make sense to me to spend $6,000 extra to fly. We have a big trailer, and she gets a big box stall in it, and our trailer is like an RV. It has a living quarters, so we stay in it, and so we've just always driven.
Well, that sounds a little more reasonable. If you do hear people that fly, you're like, really? How'd you do that?
Yeah, well, and I live in Northern California, so for me to fly, I actually have to spend a day to drive to LAX, and then
you've got
your day of flying, you know, and even though I know it's only maybe a few hours to fly, your horse gets quarantined. Then they get put onto the pallets really early. I mean, it is a whole day. And so I only really save one day by flying.
Right, right.
So she travels well, and it's just always been super easy to drive her. My husband and I do it together, and it's just a nice time to, you know, we spend time and see the country, and it's nice.
That's awesome. So what are some of your Rolex preparations that you're going through right now? Obviously, you did a combined test this past weekend. What else are you looking at?
Well, tomorrow she does her final gallop. And for her, the last few weeks, we really add a lot of speed, less time and speed on steeper hills on the gallop. So, you know, I always find the end kind of nail-biting, because she is pure warm blood. And, you know, you do kind of it's hard on her. To get her fit is hard on her. It's a lot more difficult than it is on a thoroughbred. And so, you know, the big things are galloping fast enough and hard enough to get her fit enough that I can push her those last couple minutes at Rolex to keep going without breaking her. You know, so it's always, always, you know, I think a little nerve-wracking. And then to do it in a way that doesn't just put her over the top mentally, that, you know, she stays calm. And, you know, so every day in between when she does dressage or jumping, she goes out and walks for an hour on top of that. And just, you know, all the last minute things, worrying about a cut because you can't put Furosin on it because you're, you know, doing FEI, stuff like that. Just all the little things that can catch you up.
How stressful. I know my coach is Barb Crabo out here, and she was ever ready. She said she swam him a lot just to make sure that he was being hurt. I mean, it's like you have to bubble wrap these guys, yet keep them working so incredibly hard. I don't know how you find the balance, but I guess you're doing great. Now, before we let you go, because we're running out of time, it's just been awesome. I could talk to you for hours. Tell us a little bit about Fleeceworks and how they kind of work into your program.
Well, I've always loved the Fleecework pads, and Judy has always been so supportive. And literally, she will do anything that you ask her to do. She's just amazing. And Rosie, which is our Stars Bar name, has a little table back. She's pure Holsteiner. She has what I call a little table back. And so I've always had a really hard time getting a square pad and a half pad to really sit securely on her cross country. And so starting a couple years ago, Fleeceworks started developing a pad that had everything put together so that she could have a protected back still and not have the saddle slip. And last year they came out with the first official design, and now they've improved on it this year. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I think that's pretty big for a company to work on a special pad for a special horse.
Yeah, absolutely it is. No, and at least the good thing is that table back is really comfy bareback.
Yes, it is.
That's a good one. when you hop on in the pasture and you don't feel uncomfortable. I all have thoroughbreds. You can't sit on one of those guys bareback. Well, that's great that they would work with you like that. And they're just such a great company. And
They are. And they, seriously, they are so supportive to all of their riders. And, you know, and even clients, like I've had students that have had a half pad that, you know, one that didn't hold up quite as well. And, you know, and Judy was so upset and she replaced it. And they are just back their products so well.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Well, where can people find you? Because I know you're a Facebooker. You post all the time.
Yeah.
And where can people find you to follow you through this fun process called Rolex?
Probably on Facebook. That's one of my – I'm actually not very computer literate, and I just learned to do that last year. So that's probably the best place to follow me.
Okay, well, fine, John. We're going to put a link to that up on our Facebook page as well so they can find us at Horses in the Morning. And it's Chrissy Nunnick, Eventing Next Star Farm. So it's kind of long. We'll post that for you. And good luck and congratulations, and give our star a big carrot for us.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy.
To you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll have to talk to her after Rolex.
Yeah. Does that make you drool, though? Now you're really missing going to Rolex, aren't you? It's killing you now.
I cannot even believe I'm not going this year. It is so frustrating to me. One of all my friends that like live in Lexington, because I used to live there, they're all texting me, when are you getting here? When are we going to Keeneland? No cap, which dressage day? Like, I hate you all. Like,
you had to go. You know, you could have timed this pregnancy better. You know that, right?
You say everything else worked out great except for this. The only time that I have missed a Rolex in the last like 20 years was when my dad got married, and I was so pissed at his wedding because I was missing it. I mean, he got divorced afterwards. I knew it wasn't going to last. So I'm like, this is such a waste of a weekend. God. Marry the devil. I'm sorry, that's another story.
Well, let's go from that to talking about all natural products from Omega Alpha Equine. Woo-hoo! We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that is why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. Dozens of different all-natural products are available to help your horses with all kinds of things, including their coat, their digestive tract, their kidneys, liver function, muscles, joints, and so much more. You can find descriptions and all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com, or you can like them on Facebook by searching for Omega Alpha Equine. And they're always doing fun stuff on Facebook. They're starting to get into more educational things. Of course, you know, we have them on once a month here to talk about nutrition and different topics, but they're doing their own thing over there, too, with different doctors and things. So check them out at OmegaAlphaEquine.com or on Facebook. Well, we go from eventing with the English saddle off to the ranch with the Western saddle, and we're going to be talking in just a second to Adrienne, and this is some of her music.
Trevor! A gypsy, pack like a princess, armed and fabulous in my diamonds and chains. I rode a bronc, I broke a heart, the desert and my wild ways keep us apart, but I'm gonna be fine, cause I'm a buckaroo Barbie.
Well, that's right. She's the original Buckaroo Barbie, and her name is Adrienne, and she really is. I mean, she's a cowgirl through and through. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We are terrific. We're so glad to have you on. You know, your website is Buckaroo Girl, so I mean, you have claimed a stake to that, haven't you?
Yes, sir, a little bit. It seems to have stuck.
Now, you've been singing and doing your thing since you were like 14, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to see, you grew up, I mean, you're a cowgirl through and through, out there with the cattle on the ranch, and your family too.
Yes, sir, very much so. It's actually kind of funny. The other day I was talking to somebody and they asked how far it was for me to just kind of pop on down to town and come visit with them. And I was like, well, you know, it's actually an hour and a half pretty much from the nearest town if you actually drive a normal speed for our road. So it's not exactly very close to civilization.
Well, now, you did grow up with you actually rode broncs?
Yes, sir. Actually, I used to ride ranch broncs, which is kind of a little like riding saddle broncs, except you're using the saddle that you use every day on the ranch. You're using your working rig. So it's kind of a you ride as you can kind of deal. And it was a lot of fun. I did that for a couple of years, and it was a really good experience. I definitely got a lot of inspiration for a lot of songs from that. But in case you're ever thinking about a career in bronc riding, if you're a musician as well, it can be very detrimental to your hands. And after a couple of times of breaking my hands and a couple different fingers and then having to go play a show the same night, I went, you know, this probably isn't very smart.
I guess that wouldn't be. Well, you know, riding broncs, period, you don't like your bones. I mean.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it was a lot of fun, though. I really enjoyed it, and I really like the broncs a lot. They're really cool horses. And, you know, it's a lot of fun as well because it's kind of a break when you go to a bronc ride or a rodeo or something. It's kind of a nice break from the ranch, and you can go off and see your friends that you haven't seen in a while, and kind of everybody comes out of the woodwork, and it's a fun time.
Well, now, growing up, I know you had tell us a little bit about Cappy.
Growing up, you know what, Cappy is so funny. I think every girl probably that is into horses or has owned livestock or owned horses has that one special buddy, you know, that they can kind of be a silly girl about, and I'm no different. Cappy, quite honestly, we joke that he was put together with spare parts. I think God kind of took all the different parts that he had left over from all the animals after he was done making him to build Cappy. But he is an absolute sweetheart. He's a Skipper W, and he was just a goofy little two-year-old when we got him, and my sister actually started him, and then I took him over, and he's just kind of always been my bud, and he's a great little rope horse, and I've always used him to brand calves off of and work on the ranch and stuff, and you could gather cows on him, and then it's crazy enough, you could do all of that, and then the next day you could go and you could load him up with a travoy, with like a Native American travoy, and I used to own a big old long teepee, and he'd haul the poles all around, and you could just ask his horse to do anything, and he'd just try his little heart out. So I always really liked that about him.
Okay, Adrian, we've been doing this show. We have 650 episodes or something now, and this is the first time we have ever had somebody talk about hauling a teepee. It's a first.
Well, I'm kind of weird, quite honestly. I love living outside. I've always kind of preferred to live outside rather than inside of a ranch house. And when I was in a lot of middle school and high school, I was homeschooled. My folks were just absolutely lovely, and they let me live in a 14-foot Indian lodge while I did my school. And so I just took my work out there and would come back in and check in with everybody, and it was great, but you know, to move it, it's kind of an ordeal, and I just thought, well, heck, if the Indians could move it with horses, I can. So we load up that horse, and he did a great job. He just pulled his little heart out.
You actually lived your entire growing up camping, basically.
Pretty much, yeah, actually, it's quite funny. When people ask me if I like camping, I always just say yes, absolutely, and then kind of laugh because it's like you have absolutely no idea how much I love it.
Now, of course, you're in Texas where the ranches are a little bit bigger than we're used to.
Well, actually, we're in California right now, and we're in Northern California right now, although I have been going down to Texas the last couple of years, or this last year for the first time, which has been really fun. And there are a lot of similarities in kind of the sizes of stuff here. It's really cool because there's a lot of big open countries in both places, and I love that feeling. You know, we used to be in Nevada
My dad worked at the Big Springs Ranch for Larry Schutte out by Oasis, which is about 100 miles from the nearest town, which is Elko. I don't know if you can actually even call it a town. Honestly, it was pretty tiny at the time. But I love the feeling of big, wide open spaces and, you know, kind of not having anything around you. And it's funny because we live in that. We live in a place where, you know, we know that our neighbors are there, the neighboring ranches, but you're on your own up here. You kind of, you depend on you and you alone pretty much. And it feels like the same thing when you go down to Texas. I went down last year in May, and I'm going again this year for the WRCA Championship Bronc Ride.
Yeah.
To open actually for Reckless Kelly this year, which I'm really excited about. And I opened for the Josh Abbott Band last year, and it was great fun. And I was just amazed driving down there at how big it felt. It was incredible. You can really see why so many old-time cowboy songwriters would write about, you know, the wild Texas country and the Texas cowpunchers. It's really cool. It's a tough, harsh country, and they are tough people.
Well, let's get to talking a little bit about your music. You know, Western Horseman magazine called you the Buckaroo's Taylor Swift, and they
yes,
they called the Will James Days from your first CD as one of the best 13 best Western songs of all time. I
yes,
mean,
sir.
You learned this all yourself. You were self-taught out in the TT, right?
Yes, sir. You know, it's a little crazy. That was such an honor for me, and Western Horsemen has been just absolutely lovely to me. They have really they've really embraced my music a lot, which quite honestly I didn't expect, because when I think about cowboy singers most of the time, you know, growing up, my dad used to have a saddle shop, and he used to have tons of music. I grew up listening to Ian Tyson, Tom Russell, Don Edwards, you know, Chris LeDoux, all these guys, and they're all men. You know, they're all older guys. And it was kind of funny because I never really expected people to relate to, say, a teenage girl's kind of cowboy music. You know, my music is an interpretation of just my life. It's just basically my life set to poetry. And when people relate to that, it's so exciting for me. I was 14 when I picked up the guitar. And quite honestly, I had asked my mother for guitar lessons, and she said, you know, well, I've heard that your left hand, when you play the guitar, that your fingers get really tough, that you get calluses on them. So until your fingers are really tough, you know, and you've played it a lot, then I'll give you lessons. So I locked myself in my room for 3 days, and when I came out, I was like, okay, I can play the guitar, and my fingers are tough. But from that, it was very natural. I could never stop writing. I wrote so much, it's ridiculous, and I still do to this day. We'll be moving cows or something, or branding, and all of a sudden I'll have an idea, and I'll have to get a pen and find something to write on. And All right, everybody, hold up for a second.
when I found you the other day, and I think it was from somebody on Facebook, actually.
Yes, sir.
And when I saw that you're 20 years old and you've had three full CDs out already, you're probably working on the fourth right now. And when I saw your schedule, you're on the road a lot. You really are getting some good gigs, and congratulations for that, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's really fun for me. I actually just turned 21, which quite honestly is a little frightening to me.
That's fun.
It's really fun, and it's really exciting because, like you said, I am working on a fourth album, and it's awesome because I've had the chance to work with some great people, you know, like on my second album with Tom Russell, and I have an amazing studio down in Tucson, Wave Lab Studios, and the guy down there, my engineer, Craig Schumacher, he is so awesome. He's so obsessed with cowboy music, and it was something kind of new to him when I arrived, and it's really fun to kind of bounce ideas off of him and try new stuff, and it's really exciting because I've got so much material this time. When I've been being on the road constantly, I love that. It's so much fun because I get the best of both worlds. I get to be on the road constantly. You know, on the weekends, I'm always at shows. I'm always going to events, and then during the week, most of the time I am able to be here at the ranch and working with my horses and around cattle and roping and stuff. And that's really important to me because I believe that if you are a cowboy singer-songwriter or poet or if you are an entertainer within the cowboy poetry and music world, you should be actively living that lifestyle. You know, you should be able to interpret it through your everyday life's actions. And so keeping that authenticity is really important to me. Plus, I just, you know, I really love it.
We can tell. Now, Jamie, there's a song I'll play. I'll play it another day on the show. But it's off your title. It's the title of your second CD, Boots and Pearls. I really like song because I kind of think that most of our audience will relate to that song as well.
Oh, thank you so much. I really like it. It's a kind of the mixture of how tough and how feminine all cowgirls and women who, you know, live and work in the ranching and cowboy or the horse industry can be.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it is a fun song, too. And you do go from more, I mean, some of your songs are more pop and some are very old country. I mean, you have a wide range of songs that you do. Is there one that you prefer over the other?
You know, actually, funny enough, there's not. I was raised in such a music-loving family that my parents both had such eclectic tastes. My mom raised us on Vivaldi and Bach. We were playing piano recitals at a really young age, and my dad raised me on Southern rock and blues and country. So I just had a lot, and I loved opera. So, you know, I had all these different influences growing up, and I think I just kind of naturally mixed them all in together, and I kind of love all of them equally. They're very different, but there's really neat things about each different style.
Now, I have a question that of our listeners, I'm sure, I introduced you as riding in a Western saddle. Have you ever sat in an English saddle?
I have, yes, sir. I have. I was absolutely obsessed with racehorses for a while, and my mom and dad are probably the most supportive, lovely people in the whole entire world, and they thought, well, here, you know, we'll get you a little English saddle, and then you can, you know, it was when I was quite young, then you can, you know, run around a little bit on that. And it was a very different experience. I actually still have it, and I have so much more respect for people who ride in English saddles than I ever did before, because I was like, wow, there's really nothing to kind of hold on to here. This is amazing.
You know what's funny is I actually went riding in I have a little Western saddle that I take trail riding.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
It is very, first of all, let me just stop you. You are so sweet for calling us sir and ma'am. You got to quit.
I'm so sorry. It's habit. It's terrible.
You're sweet and southern. I love you. And I grew up saying that too, but you're 21 now. You're an adult. You don't have to say that anymore. So I went riding in a Western saddle yesterday, just trail riding, and I'm 7.5 months pregnant. So,
oh my goodness, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. But I realized that posting trot in a Western saddle, your belly hits the horn.
Oh my gosh, I never even thought about that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it just happened. It was like yesterday. I was like, oh.
Okay, well, probably going to need the English saddle for right now. Oh my goodness. That is hilarious. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
That is too funny.
Well, now she's not supposed to be riding at all. See, that's the problem here. It's not that it was a Western saddle. It's that she's not supposed to be riding at all.
But that's the thing, that if you're just a horse-crazy girl, then it's kind of hard to stop yourself, isn't it?
Thank you so much for understanding. He says all the time, you're not supposed to ride. Adrian's on my side. She understands.
Absolutely.
He can't just quit.
I'm on your side. You know what? I was riding before I was born with my mom, and I think that's just kind of a part of kids that, you know, are a part of the horse world. I think that's a beautiful thing.
Hey,
good on you.
Adrian, there's your next song, 7.5 months pregnant in a Western saddle. Right there.
Great inspiration. I love it.
My belly hit this is an old country Western song. My belly hit the saddle, and you can even do like that old cowboy's beer belly, like,
absolutely. It needs to be kind of like a jukebox song. Absolutely. We'll get some steel guitar on there. I love it.
sounds good. I'll wait for it.
Well, Adrian, where can people buy your music?
You can go to www.buckaroogirl.com, or you can also search for Highway 80 Boots and Pearls or Buckaroo Girl on iTunes. It's also available off of CD Baby and Amazon.
Yeah, I found you on iTunes, and I just searched for Buckaroo Girl, and all of your music came up, and it's very easy to buy it right there or on your website for that matter. But I'm going to play a song here, and before I let you go, I want you to tell me, because I think there's a little bit of a story with this song. It's called Red-Lipped Bronx Thumper.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, sir. This is definitely one of my favorites. My sister, Elizabeth, she's my older sister, and she's my absolute hero and my best friend. She was cowboying out in northern Nevada, and she had a camp job, and she was about 100 miles from town, and we were living in a trailer with no electricity. And we went and trotted out one morning to go work on a couple horses, and it was, well, you know, it was a little chilly outside, and both the horses were kind of spooky, and a jackrabbit jumped out in front of our horses, and mine kind of calmed right down, and my sister's unfortunately went bucking off into the brush, and I kind of got a kick out of it, quite honestly, because that morning my sister had painted her lips an absolute bright Marilyn Monroe red, and she has long blonde hair, and she had painted her nails bright red as well. And the only thing you could see while she was riding away out into the brush with this crazy horse is blonde hair, red lips, and a bronc. And I thought, that is a red lip bronc stomper right there.
Thank you, Adrian. We're going to listen to that right now. We'll talk
Thank
to you again
so
soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks
right,
for having
care.
Me, guys.
You're welcome.
Twisting and turning, jumping and kicking, this daddy girl, the Bronx couldn't budge, and with her gold hair flying and her painted lips smiling, she cried, come on, boy, this is all you got, bring it on. Yeah.
was Red Lipped Bronx Stomper. And as she said, you can find all of her music over at her website, buckaroogirl.com. Well, Jamie, before we go on, I just have to say that can you imagine you or I living 100 miles from nowhere in a trailer with no electricity for months on end?
No, absolutely not. Why would I do that? That sounds awful.
Obviously, she loves it. Absolutely loves it. Well, that was fun. Well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings. We are the City Dwellers, apparently. And Coach Jen is here as well. This show today is brought to you by Omega Alpha. You can find them and all of their all-natural products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, Jennifer has a mini, sort of a mini product review for us today. Jennifer, you got a new product in recently and tested it out, and we want to hear how it went. You got the Dublin Ladies Pilgrim Zip Front Boots. Tell us how you made out with those.
I got them last week and immediately tried them on and wore them about. I ordered the wrong size the first time, so it took a while for them to get here. They have a little bit wider toe box than a traditional, like a lace-up style paddock boot would. So I had to go down for a half.
This is paddock,
half a size.
It's paddock boot as opposed to tall boot or something.
Yes. Well, a paddock boot versus a athletic shoe.
Right.
Okay. And these are a little bit more athletic shoe in design.
Yeah, okay.
First and foremost, it's a Dublin, and the Dublin boots overall, I own two pairs, and I've had several other pairs. I love the balance in the Dublins. When you try a saddle on a horse, you have the tree width is part of the fitting issue, but the balance of the saddle is also part of the issue. The lowest part of the seat needs to be in the right place on the horse's back. It needs to not bridge his back, et cetera, et cetera. That's your balance issues. The balance of a Dublin paddock boot is different than some other brands of boot that are on the market, and I like it a lot better because I have lots of old riding injuries and a lot of knee issues, and these boots are great because they keep me sound. It's the best way to put it, among other things. But I love that part, which is why I decided to get a second pair of Dublins to begin with. The pros and cons of my Dublins, A, they're comfy and they are affordable. They have a really stylish look about them. They're not – they look almost
like – They kind of look
like
a riding sneaker almost.
They look almost sneakerish, but they are a solid design. They're not mesh, so they have a good coverage. So if you get stepped on by a horse – they're a lot less likely to tear through the boot and damage your foot. They're a solid boot. And they kind of have a rubber patch across the toe like you would often see in a sneaker or perhaps a climbing shoe, which is great because that part of the shoe gets beat up a lot. So that part really appealed to me. They're going to be really durable, and they're going to be easy on and off because they are zip front. And they're cut a little bit lower than a traditional show paddock boot would be.
Yeah. I love the zip fronts. Why would you waste your time lacing a shoe anymore when you can just zip them up?
Hello. Now, the con for my lovely Pilgrim zip front boots is being a casual boot versus something that you would wear competing. It has a padded cuff, which makes them super comfy, but it is hard to get a tight fit with a half chap over top of them because of the padded cuff on them. Yeah. I don't always wear my half chaps, so I will frequently, if I'm going to be riding in these, I just don't wear half chaps, and that's okay with me. But if you have a really tight-fitting half chap, particularly the ones that do not have that little cuff that covers the laces of your boot that are designed to be really stylish, they're not always going to fit over that padded cuff. The other downside to them is they might be hard for you to find at your local retailer because there aren't as many retailers carrying these great Dublin boots as there should be. So I would suggest, if you are not an online shopper, to suggest to your retailer that they carry the Dublins because they are available to the retailers. It's not a case of lack of availability. It's probably lack of store space. But if you're not an online shopper, ask your retailers to carry the Dublins. And if you are an online shopper, there are lots of places online to buy them.
Yeah, I noticed Equestrian Collections has them for $92, so they're the right price, too. And they're very stylish looking. I don't know what Jamie thinks. She sometimes disagrees on style, but
yeah, what
I
do
think
you think, Jamie?
Looking.
No, I like them, and they look really comfortable. And the people that like Dublin boots love their Dublin boots because, like you said, it's almost like a little bit wider of a toe. And the Dublin boots, they don't squish your toe as much as some other brands do. So I know a lot of people love that, and they are definitely more comfortable. Do they fit in your stirrups, Jennifer, like regular English stirrups?
They do, actually. They fit
okay.
If you wear any boot that has that outsole that you can see comes up the sides ever so slightly. They're not like a work boot that's super fat. I use a 4 3/4 stirrup iron, and these fit just as well as my my field boots do.
I would wear these with jeans, like, to go out. Like, these are so
oh,
cute.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Great
well,
job.
Good job.
Wow, so out of 6 flakes, what do they get?
These are going to get a 4.5 out of 6 flakes. I will check back again in 6 months. I've not owned these before, so the durability is still a question mark. So
okay.
we'll check back in 6 months and see. But so far, I am loving them.
Glenn,
there you go. Every time you do the flakes thing, it's a different number of how many out of. Nobody can keep track of your flake thing because you're like, out of 10 flakes, well, this one's out of 6. Well, that one got 4 out of 5. Well,
well, we live in Florida now. The bales are smaller. So
the bales are random.
I think we have Leslie on here. How about we go talk to her, Jamie? Thank you, Jennifer.
Sounds good. I would love to talk to her because I need some more information about something. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I'm fantastic. I am fascinated by one of the things you guys posted and I had seen on Facebook before. And I'm going to jump right into it because I need more information about a race that happened at Pimlico. I think it was this past weekend. And it is the craziest thing I have ever seen. It's a horse named Spicer Cub, and the jockey is named Xavier Perez. Can you paint the picture, Leslie, of what happens during this race?
Yes. Yeah, I think this race happened over the weekend, and it has since gone viral. It's been all over the internet. I think it's had about 40,000, I'm looking at 40,000 views on YouTube, been tweeted and all over Facebook. There's a horse, 4-year-old maiden gelding, so it's at Pimlico, and the horse, everything seems to be going fine, and then it looks like in maybe the far back, sort of the far back turn, he just suddenly bolted. I mean, just like erratically just disappears from the screen. And then the jockey, what is his name, Xavier Perez, sort of straightened him out, got him back into the race. And then they're kind of coming down the home stretch, and he just veers wildly to the outside again. The jockey loses his stirrups, I don't even know where he went. He just disappeared from the video that I'm watching. And then he
right.
kind of creeps back in. I was researching. I was like, what is the story? What happened here? And I actually found a post-interview with the jockey who said, it was wild. He didn't give me any warning, especially the second time, and went straight for the gate. My life went before my eyes for a few seconds. I was thinking about bailing, but saw there was enough space between the gate and the rail to get through, so I grabbed his mane and hoped for the best. Once we cleared the gate, he rebroke again and almost won the race. It was really close. In fact, fourth voice, the rider on Turban who won, congratulated me after the wire. And that's the really amazing thing is this horse, despite making these wild, unexpected detours, I mean, disappearing from the race, he comes back twice and he lost by a nose.
And the thing is, what's really amazing, too, is, you know, a jockey is perched on the top of these thoroughbred horses with stirrups that are 4 inches long. This guy, I mean, talk about a fast horse. This horse is so fast.
going between the gate and the wire, like the gate and the rail, that's crazy because he's going like 35 miles an hour. And he's like, I hope for the best. I'm like, no, you're a jockey, so that means you're crazy, number one. Number two, he lost his stirrups. He had no stirrups.
Yeah.
And his bareback legs wrapped around this crazy-ass bolting horse and comes in second place. It is amazing, amazing, amazing. We've got to post that link, Glenn, on our Facebook page right now.
I did. It's on there already. The video is up there. Now, who was the rider again? Let's give him some extra credit. Because
Xavier Perez, yeah.
Well, Xavier deserves the award for the most harrowing ride this year, let me tell you.
Oh, my gosh. Just absolutely crazy. So what the information that I wanted more of was I wanted more information on this horse. Like, what is the story with him? I know a maiden race means they've never won one. Was this his first race ever, though? Was this the first time he's ever run? Did he not understand what his job was?
Well, I think Robert had the answer. Robert Grantham posted on our Facebook page that he was partying with Kegasus before the race. So that explains it, probably. It's Pimlico, you know? And Kegasus were in the back putting some down.
You and the Kegasus thing. Dear God. So I'm just so curious to know. Do you know that, actually?
I do. I think I read somewhere that he had he'd never done. I mean, he's raced before, and he'd always been fine. So they don't. That's what I was actually going to pick you guys your brains about it and see what do you think would possess a horse to I mean, I guess it's just horses, you know.
Why I was going to say, do we need any more than that?
But to do it twice, you know, to do it twice is so crazy. You're right. He disappears from the screen. It's insane. So you guys go watch this video. It'll crack you up. And you'll realize that this jockey, really, Xavier Perez, round of applause. Nice job. Nice job. Unbelievable. So what else is going on horsenation.com?
Let's see. Jenny, also I think towards the end of last week, posted a picture of, several pictures of, she'd gone to cover the Fork Horse Trials last weekend, and it was just pouring rain. And so she got a couple of good pictures and then sort of started looking into other epic riders in the rain photographs and posted some good ones. So that's kind of fun to look at. It's just amazing to me what kind of conditions riders will compete in with a smile on their face, no big deal. you know, as long as it's not lightning, I guess, you know, pouring rain is fine.
And what's so cool about this, too, is you've got one of the greatest pictures is, I guess it's a groom standing with the horse, and they're both underneath the cooler. Like, the horse is wearing this rain sheet, and the actual groom is, like, holding it like a tent. I do love the one where the girl is putting on a plastic raincoat or taking it off, and this horse must be just so broke because it just doesn't care. Like, my horse would be back home by the time I got a raincoat on or off. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So that was really good. It reminded me of the time it was about, gosh, last year, I think, when I was at the horse trial in Southern California, and it hailed on me while I was running cross country, and then the whole thing got rained out because it snowed again. Southern California. This was at 3-day ranch. It was crazy. What is the worst weather you've ridden in?
Oh, you know, I've been out where they've, you know, I've been out in that situation where I'm just about to go in the dressage ring, and then there's a lightning bolt, and you have to go back inside. I've been at horse show, I was at a horse show where everyone had to sort of go inside this concrete building because there was tornadoes in the area. goodness gracious, it's amazing. And people don't really bat an eye at it. And I thought, you know, oh, this is unique to horse people, because horse people are obviously crazy and crazy dedicated. But yesterday, my husband is a big golf fan, and we were watching. I was watching the Masters. I like to watch the very end of the Masters because, I mean, it's like if you watch all, what, how many days is it for?
That's all you really need to do is watch the last hole.
Total
waste of time. Why watch four days of it? That's ridiculous. The last 10 minutes is all you need.
Who won, by the way? I don't even know.
Oh, Jamie.
I know.
This guy,
I know.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
It out. Babe, super babe. Australian. Oh, he is a pretty man. I would watch that man play golf all day long.
Hey, how funny is this? Adam Scott wins the Masters, and one of my friends posted on Facebook, you know, much like when you see soccer games, I was so hoping he would rip his shirt off when he won.
me too.
My husband is listening right now. Hi, baby. I love you.
I love you. But the great thing was, so it was pouring down the rain. I mean, yeah, and so there was that, and it did not seem to faze anyone. Like, I don't even know if they noticed that it was pouring rain. You know, they were so focused. So so golfers are a little bit crazy too, apparently. Or maybe it's just when, like, there's millions of dollars at stake, I guess.
No, they're crazy too. I mean, look, I, you know what, I just cheer. I used to be the biggest Tiger Woods fan. Now, any day Tiger Woods does not win is a good day for me because I hate him now. And he's crazy. They're all crazy. So you've got to be crazy to be at the top of any sport, you know, to be that dedicated to something.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Blah.
Hey, can I bring up another one of your stories?
Of course.
On here. There's actually a couple more. I think Jamie's going to bring up one that has cute little babies in it. But I got to bring up and find out what everybody thinks of Norman, the official WAG mascot for 2014.
I don't know about Norman. I don't know.
He kind of reminds me of a My Little Pony, which is disturbing. Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, he kind of does, actually. You're right. The beady little eyes and the...
It's like a little kid's cartoon is what it is. But I thought, Glenn, you would love Norman because he was named after a certain mascot that you know.
Who is he named after?
Is it your horse mascot, Norman? Newman.
Oh, yeah. Newman. Newman.
Oh.
Yes, we call him Newman.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
It's like Norman, Normandy.
I get it now. I didn't get that before. I get it now. Okay. So I'm not the only one that just goes and looks at Norman and goes, is it a mascot, though, for a WEG? You know, I always thought of a mascot for a WEG should be tougher, you know, should be tough looking.
I don't know. I think he's kind of cute, especially when you see the pictures of him and they've made like a stuffed person, whatever the mascot costume is. He's way cuter even as a costume mascot.
Well, I do think they were thinking about selling a lot of stuffed Normans at the show, and if that's their goal, they probably will.
Oh, yeah, they will.
Yeah.
Now, before we let you go, there's one unbelievably cute thing that is on on horsenation.com, the first story. It's our daily dose of adorable. It is a picture of, like, a baby mini that is laying in a grassy field dreaming. I've never seen a horse dream like this. I knew dogs did it, but... horses?
So cute. It's like kind of twitching. And I'm like, what is it? I wonder what it's dreaming about. What a little baby mini's dream about. I was thinking,
you know,
baby carrots.
You said baby carrots, and I get that. But I think he thinks he's running the Kentucky Derby. Like, he thinks he is going down the home stretch, winning the Kentucky Derby. His little legs are like, twitching and pushing and twitching and pushing. Like, he's running. It's so cute. Oh, my God, it's so cute.
Maybe
I thought you would pick up on that one.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they did, like, a mini Kentucky Derby before, like, as pre-show entertainment before
the Kentucky Derby?
How cute would that
God.
Be? Oh, yes.
Oh, my God, you just hit the nail on the head. What a great idea. Either little kids on Shetland ponies or minis or something. Yeah, there's got to be that. Mm-hmm. We got to do that. Come on, Kegasus. Get it together.
And then you had the one you posted today with the 12 freakishly long manes and tails. Who wants that?
Can you imagine
some of these manes that go, you know, down to the ground and then wrap around their legs and stuff? It's like, oh, my God, how would you ever take care of that? How would you have time to take care of that?
I have no idea.
And then the Pinto Arabian. The Pinto Arabian with the pure white hair that looks like it's been dyed by bleach. It's just a nightmare. Maybe I just look at it from the horse husband's point of view, you know, and having to help groom or something. It's like, oh, man, can you imagine?
All I think about is with those long tails, you can never ask your horse to back up because they'll step on it.
That's true.
I mean, they must keep them tied up and braided and all of the time, right, except for horse shows or who knows.
Well, the Andalusians in Spain, I will tell you, all had their horses braided all the time, and so they only took them out like to condition them and rebraid them and put them back away for a couple weeks because it's just too much maintenance. I don't know. We need to talk to a Gypsy owner or a Frisian owner or an Andalusian owner and just find out how they do it.
What is the deal? And how can the horses see through all that mane? Are they it seems like they're just
kind of reminds me of that dog, you know, the shaggy dog that has hair all over its face. Some of these are that way, and it's like they must have an ability to see through it somehow. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I still look at some of these. Some of these are like they should be in Guinness Book as like freaky because the hair is just too long. But some of them are like the black, it might be an Andalusian or a Frisian, that is standing with his owner by the lake, and his mane is like cascading down his beautiful neck. And that just, okay, that one gives me
that's
like
pretty dreamy.
That's pretty dreamy. I would like to wrap myself in that mane hair and just like throw my leg over his back and take off at a gallop and have it whipping me in the face. I really need to.
So you say in your article here that the longest recorded tail in the world in the Guinness Book is 12 feet 6 inches, 12 feet of tail.
12 feet 6 inches. That's a lot of show scenes.
A lot of show scenes. Well, thank you, Leslie.
Oh, thank you, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
All right, Leslie. Talk to you Monday.
Okay, bye.
Of course, horsenation.com is where you can find Leslie and all of her fun over there at horsenation.com. I do, you know, when I need a chuckle, I just go there. If I need a chuckle in the middle of the afternoon, you go there, you know there's going to be something cute on Horse Nation, something that's going to make you laugh.
I really want an Andalusian to play with his mane now. I really want one. I would braid it every day and finger comb it and take care of it and use Shoshin and baby oil and all the stuff that you would need to do to take care of a horse's mane. I would do it. I would do it.
Well, he doesn't have a very long mane, but there is a horse that you can go say hi to after today, and that's because he's arriving at the Kentucky Derby Museum there at Churchill Downs, and his name... What?
He'll bite me. He won't let me play with his mane.
Probably true. His name is Mind That Bird. Mind That Bird has arrived, apparently, with his trainer in tow. Willary was there as well, and they're going to be having a little ceremony, and he's going to be settling in, and he'll be stabled there. And I guess if you go to the museum, you're going to be able to go up and say hi to him. I don't know how much hi. I think they're probably going to have bars in the way. But, so Mind That Bird. This is the first time I remember this happening. They must, when they changed the museum, they must have put a stall in somewhere nearby because it was never set up like that before. So
apparently they've had a bunch of horses on display there, like not concurrently, but some horses on display, some famous horses. They haven't had, I don't think, a Kentucky Derby winner on display there, though. So this is kind of a big deal for them.
Because usually they're out busy having babies or making babies. This one can't, so he's like yelling. And they, by the way, the movie, it's called 50 to 1. They have a title for the Mind That Bird movie now. It's called 50 to 1. And, of course, that was his odds when he won that race. And they have wrapped up filming, and they're in the editing stages right now. So, and this pretty famous director by the name of Jim Wilson, who's done many other movies, who's going to be doing that one. So I think that this movie has a chance of being pretty good.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, and it's such a great story. But did you read in the story, this horse, of course, Kentucky Derby winner,
has been in the back of a two-horse trailer heading back all the way to Louisville. Because
really?
His owner, yeah, they drove him. He drove him. You know, how's he going to get
there?
Is
that same crappy old two-horse trailer he had before?
I believe it was the same crappy two-horse trailer that he went to the Kentucky Derby in, and the trainer just drove him. He's like, the owner's just like, well, I'll just drive him back. So he's put in that crappy two-horse trailer and driven all the way back across the country. Here you go. Here he is. I hope he looks good.
Well, I do, too. I think he probably looks just fine. But I have some very sad news for everybody today. I hate to end on a bummer. But, yeah, there's some sad news in the horse world. And I know you hate me doing these sad stories. But, you know, occasionally we have to do them because they're that important. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention it. It's come out in the Maryland papers that the Maryland Jockey Club has said that, well, I have to do this first.
You had me for a second.
They have said that Kegasus will probably not be part of the marketing campaign for the 138th Preakness this year. They haven't totally confirmed that, but they have kind of said that they're probably going to be retiring him, that their brand. Now, the reason they did this, and, you know, they're not, I don't think he gets enough due, because when they started this campaign, by the way, it was done by a Washington, D.C. marketing firm called Elevation. And when they started this campaign was in 2009, attendance had fallen to 78,000 fans for the Preakness in 2009. Now, you think about, you know, the other races, they're at over 100,000 fans. So they needed something to boost it up. So what they did is they helped boost ticket sales by having this big infield party, and Kegasus was part of the promotion for that. What they were trying to do is get all of the college kids to come back and drink their eyeballs out in the infield and, you know, to spend money on beer. And for 2011 and 2012, they brought Kegasus out, and they kind of made this big party, and they brought some big name, you know, acts in. Do you know in 2012 they drew 121,000 people to the race course for that race?
I did not know that. I did not know that. But, again, are you telling me that Kegasus is no more?
I'm telling you that they're going to retire Kegasus to the back pasture unless they're...
Kegasus!
We're having fun.
Now, I will say that they did not come out and say this is for sure, but the head of the Maryland Jockey Club said, if you were a betting man, I think Kegasus has gone to the island.
I am a betting man or woman, and I would like to place money on that. I would like to place money against it, because then it would come true, because whatever I bet against actually goes the opposite way. So I would like to say that I am very happy to know that Kegasus will be retiring. He did his work. He needs to move on over that little rainbow to the other side, Glenn. That's where Kegasus is go when it's their time. He's gonna.
It's a sad day for all of us that like to torture Jamie. It's a very sad day.
Take his little hooves and just clip clop right on up that rainbow.
I think they're feeling kind of confident now that they can get rid of Kegasus because the numbers are up, and they're having Pitbull and Macklemore as their acts this year. So they're kind of counting on Pitbull to draw in the crowds without Kegasus.
Yeah, that's kind of. Can we upload some Pitbull music and start playing that every time we talk about the Preakness? Oh wait, no. We can't, because we're a family show and you can't play audio like that.
I'd have to beep every other word. There'd be no song left.
Yes, I know. Wow.
No, well, I just would like to take a moment. I would like to take a moment of silence and just think about what Kegasus has done for the racing community.
Okay. Moment of silence. Ready? Go.
Kegasus! Half horse, half man with beer in hand.
I'm going to miss that music.
Oh, me too. I'm so sad. I'm so sad.
A sad day. Very disappointed.
All right, let's get out of here. Everybody, please, if you, I'm going to post the address to send fly masks to, new or used fly masks, because all the mash horses really need them. They're going crazy in there with all the flies in the desert and the jail and everything. It's just a depressing place right now with all the flies. So we're going to get some fly masks and fly spray. I'll get the fly spray if you guys get the fly mask, and we'll send them over. I'll put the address on our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and the Mash Horses Facebook page later today. We thank you guys so much for your help, and thanks to everybody who helped donate money to get Diego brain surgery. I mean, neuter.
Yay!
Hey,
chop that off.
Woo! He's getting gelded. Thanks to you guys. So we appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld. Woo-hoo!
So long, Pegasus. Dear Guzzlin, Princess Mascot.
So sad about that. I'm so sad I'm going to skip all the way to my room.
Gagasus, half horse, half man, with beer in hand, he strolls the infield best.
That was your last time. Goodbye. Okay.